Today on Active Voice Radio, we're with Spencer Overton, the author of Stealing Democracy, The New Politics of Voter Suppression. Spencer, welcome to the program today.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, first of all, let's talk about this overall idea of American democracy. What is our democracy in America? Are we calling it the right thing even by saying democracy?
Well, unfortunately, right now, politicians control America by manipulating election rules. We talk a great game about exporting democracy to other countries, but in fact, here in the United States, the people are not in control. Politicians use redistricting, antiquated voting machines, long lines, and other barriers to voting to determine who votes and whose vote counts. Chris, voters don't choose politicians, but often politicians choose voters by manipulating election rules.
And we sort of see this. If you look at the history of politicians, you can see them move from district to district, from state to state, sort of gaining their political clout throughout their lifetime. Here in New Mexico, we played host to the Texas Democrats when they ran out of state during redistricting over there. What does redistricting really mean? I mean, what do politicians do when they change these boundaries?
Right. You remember, let's just say, for example, with partisan gerrymandering, let's say I'm a Republican and I won narrowly in my last election with 51% of the vote, and that's just too close for me. And so what I do is I redraw my district to remove, let's say, five or six Democratic precincts, and I add five or six Republican precincts. And so in the next election, I win safely, comfortable margin, with 70% of the vote. Now, I win not because I'm a better representative, but because I've simply shuffled the voters around. And this happens across the country. Both Republicans and Democrats do this. And as a result, in 2004, Congress had only a 40% approval rating, and yet 98% of incumbents won their elections and were returned to Washington, D.C. And it's a problem across the country. There are 36 states where the politicians basically draw their own lines. We've got a situation with the fox guarding the hen house. And you remember in Texas, there was unprecedented mid-decade redistricting where it was redistricting solely for partisan purposes. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court decided not to get involved in that case. They decided to let it be, not get their hands dirty with the politics. The problem, though, with the Supreme Court's decision is it opens the floodgates for political payback by Democrats in Illinois, New Mexico, Louisiana, other places where Democrats control the government. Also, let's just say that your poll numbers are down, Chris. Why not just redraw the districts to ensure that you hang on to power as a politician? So there's some real problems with the court's decision.
So you talk about the fox guarding the hen house. In no other place is this perhaps more apparent than what happened with Catherine Harris there in Florida during the presidential elections. You know, how does it come to be that these people who are supposed to oversee elections and sort of supposed to have this objective viewpoint, how is it that these folks are the most engaged in state partisan politics?
Right. Unfortunately, that's the situation across the country, and we really do violate international norms across the world. Independent commissions, not the politicians, independent commissions draw districts, and they also generally administer elections. If you look at in Iraq, a place where we set up the government, there's an independent commission that administers elections there, but not here in the United States. You have partisans on the local level and also on the state level, essentially twisting the rules to benefit themselves, their party, and their preferred candidate. So we do have this problem, and I think we need to move away from this, and we need to move toward independent commissions and independent administrators, professionalize this, as opposed to just having basically political hacks running our elections.
Well, you know, you'd think with all these numbers running about when you talk about elections, there'd be some randomness, there'd be something happening there, but there's this trend to favor incumbents in elections. And what's happening here that our system tends to favor these incumbents and keep people in power?
Well, unfortunately, the incumbents are making the rules, and so they're going to make the rules that favor themselves. And it happens across the board to all Americans, but it also happens with regard to race. People say, well, does racial discrimination still happen in voting? And yes, it does, and it often happens because the incumbents are afraid that a particular racial group, let's say African Americans or Latinos, may vote against them. And as a result, their thought is rather than win these voters over, which is what they should be doing, it's easier to suppress the vote from that particular community. So it is a significant problem. And Chris, your right to vote depends on where you live in this country. We've got 4,600 different election systems, unequal funding in all these different places. So we've got a variety of essentially localized kind of boss hogs running these places. Sometimes we've got good citizens who are engaged, but often we have partisans who are interested in hanging on to power. In a place like Columbus, for example, Columbus, Ohio, in just 2004, county officials knew they needed 5,000 election machines. They decided to make do with only 3,000, and they took machines out of the urban area and put them out into the suburban area. And as a result, Tanya Thivner, she voted in Columbus. She waited 4 hours in line, and her mother, who lived in a suburb, only waited 15 minutes. Now, you know, Starbucks, McDonald's, they wouldn't make you wait 4 hours in line. They'd go out of business if they did that. But, you know, I think that voting is at least as important as a Frappuccino or a quarter pounder. We can and we really should do a lot better.
And what is it that makes it so different? I mean, we've got different laws in every single state. I mean, why isn't there something uniform taking place here? Some would say maybe having all these different types of machines and different laws makes it safer, makes it less easy to tamper with.
Right.
But it seems like in the end, the voters are losing out in all this.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And there's a lack of accountability as a result of all these systems. And I'll say this, Chris, I think there's an important role for some local input and some local influence. That certainly is important, but we also need federal audits and federal oversight to check to ensure that these local politicians aren't abusing their authority and basically manipulating the rules to stay in power, which is what happens so often. And people say, well, you know, we don't want to federalize elections or states' rights. This can't be about a turf battle as to, you know, what a state's right is. You know, we really need to focus on the voters. Serving the voters needs to be key. We need both local state, governments working on that, but we also need the federal government to play an important role. And the objective shouldn't be to preserve states' rights or to preserve turf. The objective should be to protect voters.
And one of the most important protections of voters is the Voting Rights Act of 1965, due for renewal here in 2007, and now getting punted around like one of the great political footballs of our time. I mean, is this just some sort of political distraction, or do you think that they're really not going to renew it?
Well, I hope they'll renew it, because if it's not renewed, we're in danger of losing hundreds, if not thousands, of Latino, Black, and Asian American elected officials around the country. Fortunately, the House recently voted to renew it, the House of Representatives, in an overwhelming vote. But I do think that people should write their U.S. Senator, because now it goes on to the U.S. Senate, and you can send an email very quickly to your U.S. Senator by going to stealingdemocracy.com, and there you can easily send a letter to your U.S. Senator. Now, the Voting Rights Act is needed because we still have problems. If you look, for example, in Prairie View, Texas, just in 2004, the district attorney there threatened to arrest students at a historically Black college for voting, and the county board reduced the polling hours at the polls closest to the historically Black college from 17 hours down to 6 hours. The Voting Rights Act stops this kind of racial manipulation by requiring that these states show their election changes are not discriminatory. It prevents discriminatory election rules before they're on the books, and therefore it prevents costly lawsuits. It's a perfect example of the fact that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. There are also bilingual ballots. There are important aspects of the renewed Voting Rights Act. They're also up for reauthorization.